Hey guys, it's Rena. Thank you for joining me today on Those Murder Girls podcast. Today we are in Texarkana, Texas for a super sad story, which they all are, but this one is exceptionally sad and it kind of makes you wonder what law enforcement can be thinking sometimes. I think we sit here and you guys listen to me tell stories where we wonder why law enforcement didn't do more. Or we listen to stories where law enforcement goes above and beyond to serve their community. This one I don't understand. And I don't think we or I will understand until we know more. And I feel like maybe an investigation needs to be done into how this case was handled, because we're talking about people's lives here. And when it comes to law enforcement, they take an oath to protect and serve. And in this case, that wasn't done necessarily. It wasn't. So I want to know what your guys' thoughts are. And listen to the case and then DM me on any social media platform at Those Murder Girls Podcast. So here is our case. Shamanique Wilkerson said goodbye to her six kids on the way out of her house in Texarkana, Texas on July 29th, 2022. She left her children, who range in age from 1 to 10, in the care of her cousin, 31-year-old Paris Props. Texarkana, Texas is a super rural town with a population of like 5,000. It's one of 11 cities within Cass County, which Cass County itself only has a population of like 29,000. So where we're at is super rural. I don't think things like this necessarily happen there very often. So a few hours into Chamonix's shift, it was about 5 or 6 p.m., she called home to check on the kids, and they were all doing good. They were eating snacks, watching TV in her room. It was getting dark outside, so there was no more playing out there because there were no lights on the property. The kids said when they were done watching TV, they were going to take a bath and then relax before going to bed. With everything all good at the house, it made Chamonix's shift working at this care facility much easier. She had a lot of responsibility back at home, so to know that everything was good and everything was great, that made her feel good. At about 9:30 that night, Chamonix was changing a patient when she received a call at the nurse's station. It was coming from her cousin Paris back at home, who told her that her kids were missing and that they had been missing since about 8 o'clock. Instantly, she's confused, like, what do you mean my kids are missing and how do six children just go missing? Did you call 911 before you called me? He said no, he hadn't, which made her even more confused. And how are my kids missing for an hour and a half, she asked, and you're calling me before you call 911? So with a billion questions racing through her head, Chamonix has to make the 25-minute drive from Atlanta, Texas, back to Texarkana while she's multitasking. She's calling her aunt, asking her aunt if she could please meet her at the house to help her search for the kids, and hoping that her aunt can get there before she can. She called 911. She's trying to process Paris's statement about how her kids are missing. And she's doing all of this while literally trying not to crash her car, because as you can imagine, there's a billion things going through her mind right now. So by 10 o'clock on the scene at her house are deputies from the Cass County Sheriff's Department, wardens from the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and the fire rescue crews from the Cass County Emergency Services. And they were all searching for only three of Chamonix's children: 9-year-old Ziariel Oliver, 8-year-old Amaya Hughes Oliver, and 5-year-old Tamari Oliver, all who were students of the Atlanta Primary School. They literally brought in all of the manpower they had to make sure that these girls were located and brought home in a timely manner, which is going to be very ironic as time goes by. So Chamonix pulls in to her driveway to see her aunt already there with first responders. Chamonix's oldest daughter comes outside when Chamonix gets there and points in the direction of where everyone is headed in search of the girls. Chamonix can hear her aunt yelling the girls' names in the distance, and they're all headed into this wooded area. Chamonix asked, why are they going in that area? The girls would never go that way ever. Her daughter says, because that's the direction they were last seen headed, according to Chamonix's four-year-old. None of this was making sense to her. She couldn't comprehend any of it because how could any of this be happening? But there was no time for questions, so she took a deep breath and she followed everyone into that wooded area. A canine unit from the Texas Park and Wildfire Department would follow the girl's scent from the house into this wooded area across a field that was home to cows and horses and to a pond that sat on a neighboring property, which was about 200 yards away from where Chamonix and the girls lived. That pond, Chamonix was never even aware of. She didn't even know it existed, and it was on someone else's property, so why would she? At the pond, the authorities located a children's bike, a pair of shoes that belonged to Tamari, which were stacked one on top of the other, which was Chamonix's first thought was like, that's super weird. Like, why are the shoes stacked like that? There were also footprints that led into the water, but we don't know what size shoe prints those are, if they were kids or adults. There was clothing scattered all along the banks, and these findings prompted the Bowie dive team to come in to search the pond. When they arrived, Chamonix was asked to please go back home and to wait for an update. They didn't want her there in case anything was found. So while she waited on the edge of her property line, just as close as she could be to the pond, her mind is racing and she keeps telling herself, my kids would have never went outside alone and they definitely would have never went into that wooded area. There were cows and there were horses on the other side and it was all scary for the little girls. This could have never happened, would have never happened. And she's hoping all of this is just a huge mistake. So after what seems like an eternity of waiting for the divers to come back from that wooded area and into Chamonix's sights, she finally sees someone and she's like, did you find anything? And the first responders say no. So she continued to wait because there were a ton of people out there searching. It wasn't until about 45 minutes later when Chamonix was approached by a sheriff who delivered devastating news. They had pulled a body from the pond, and based on the sheriff's description, Chamonix knew that it was her 8-year-old daughter, Amaya. Along with Amaya's body, there were also a few clothing items that were retrieved, but they didn't belong to her because she was wearing all of her clothes. What they found were jackets, and the jackets were all tied together to form like a long rope, an object that would have been used to like pull someone out of the water if they were struggling. Chamonix was like, okay, yes, I know those jackets, but all of those jackets were thrown into a trash can back on my property. She's like, how would they have like ended up at the pond? It doesn't make any sense. Once again, something else that doesn't make any sense in this story. All of this became beyond overwhelming for the 28-year-old mother. It was when sheriffs were questioning her and going over what they were finding and all of this stuff that Chamonix suffered a heart attack right there and was rushed to the hospital. This would be her second heart attack. The first one was brought on by the death of her mother not too long before this. Stress and grief can cause a spike in hormones and it can do this to even a healthy person. It wouldn't be until later on in the hospital when she was still under a mild sedation that Chamonix would be told that her other two daughters were also pulled from the pond at about 2 or 3 in the morning on July 30th. This moment in time is a blur to her because of the medication, but she says what she does remember of this moment, she will never forget. An autopsy performed on the girls concluded that all three had accidentally drowned. Chamonix couldn't believe it, and she still didn't understand how the girls, by themselves, could have wandered so far away from home. But police insisted, and they told her it happens. But not to her kids. She knew better than anything that that was not the case. Chamonix's 4-year-old daughter was the one that had initially told police that she had seen her four sisters walking into the night through the woods with the cousin Paris, who had been watching them. But her little testimony was thrown out because police said that she was far too young to be able to detail the happenings of that night. And my unprofessional opinion on that is, who is going to tell the truth and nothing but the truth and maybe rat out their siblings for being outside when they weren't supposed to, like a four-year-old? Your four-year-old is going to tell you exactly what happened all day long. So now Shawn Monique is having to adjust to life with half of her heart ripped out of her chest, which is obviously not easy. She will never get over the loss or the heartbreak of losing her babies. It has been 9 months since the girls passed away, and just a few weeks ago, authorities came forward with a stunning revelation, one that has everyone baffled as to why the details, the actual details, of this case have been kept under wraps for over 9 months. Authorities are now saying the girls, Ziariel, Tamari, and Amaya, didn't actually drown, as Shawn Monique was told last August. All three were murdered. The girls' faces were all slashed with a sharp object. All three of the girls were strangled. And even though all three were found fully dressed, Tamari was the only one missing her shoes, they had all been sexually assaulted before being dumped into the pond on the evening of July 29th. Now, all of this is a far cry from an accidental drowning. A far cry from three little girls wandering away from home in the middle of the dark night into a pond and all drowning trying to save each other. What in the actual fuck is going on in Texarkana, Texas? How did the sheriffs, divers, Parks and Wildlife Department all pull the girls from the water and what, not see the mutilation to their faces, which is absolute bullshit, but they all rallied together to tell the story that Shawn Monique was told 9 months ago, that the girls had accidentally drowned? Like, what the fuck is that? All of this is news to everyone, except the authorities who were in the know and the medical examiner. But why? Because they didn't know how to handle the case? Not only did a mother lose her children, she had every right to know exactly what happened to those girls. And this means that there's a killer on the streets of Cass County, Texas, and no one, virtually no one, had any clue about this. How irresponsible is this of the authorities? Like, what? I don't even know. But Shawn Monique knew in her heart that her children never wandered off. And her life has never been the same since the passing of her girls. So Paris Props, the cousin that was watching the girls that day, his mom, who is Shawn Monique's aunt, his mom has forbid him to talk to anyone about what happened that night. He has a criminal record for misdemeanor weapons, narcotics, and like criminal mischief arrests, but he isn't allowed to talk to the authorities. It's not clear if the aunt that Shawn Monique called the day that the children went missing is Paris's mom, but from everything I read, it kind of sounds like there's a really good chance that it was. So why would this be? Either way, if that's his mom or if that's not his mom, why would his mom forbid her own child to cooperate for police, to clear his name as a baby killer? That way they can go out and find the actual killer. Why would this be? Unless you're one of the laundries, which I will never understand that type of parent. Paris did go to the funeral for the little girls. All three of their lives were celebrated together as they always were. But he wasn't a mourner. There were people that were at that funeral that said he slept through it. He went to the funerals and he slept through it. Why didn't he just not go? What was his purpose of being there and sleeping through it? To me, my opinion is he didn't because he didn't want anyone to see how guilty he was. He had been questioned by the Texas Rangers because he was the last one to see the girls alive. His interview has not been shared with the public, but the Rangers say that they will continue, whatever, to pursue every lead they get from here on out, which is really nice. Shawn Monique has her suspicions, and so do I. I have so many questions. Why were the older kids the ones that were killed? Because the younger ones would be less likely to speak out about something that they witnessed? Did something happen inside the house when the girls took a shower? Is that why they were all fully dressed and there's evidence of the sexual assault? When was the bike taken to the pond to be planted there? It doesn't sound like a little girl would be able to ride a bike easily through the terrain that they would have had to take getting from their house to the pond on the neighboring property. I mean, to go through that area with the cows and the horses and traveling over 200 yards and having a bike with you through the woods, like, it doesn't sound likely, not for little girls. I also wonder if it's not Paris prop. If it is somebody else that's responsible, were there any cars seen nearby that weren't familiar? Maybe someone was tipped off about the older girls being home with Paris and it was all a setup. Someone could have stopped by the house. They knew who was there. I mean, besides the four-year-old pointing out the directions the girls were last seen in, walking with Paris, that's pretty much all that we have. And I don't think she's lying. I'm just trying to think outside the box a little bit. I also wonder, if Paris is not responsible, did he search for the girls for the hour and a half that they were missing before he called their mom? Or did he maybe see them last at 8? Maybe he was watching a movie, didn't realize that they were gone until 9:30. I don't know. The Black Panther Nation is behind Chamonix, and they, along with so many others, are calling for the FBI to get involved in this case. No matter what happened and no matter who's responsible, it's pretty clear that this case is beyond anything that Texarkana can handle on their own. I mean, for 9 months, they allowed this mother to believe that her children accidentally drowned when they had actually been brutally murdered, you guys. What is happening? They're now asking for the public's help. Why didn't they ask from the jump when everything was happening, when people could be on alert, look for signs, ask their own questions? They do say that they have DNA and they're working through it, but that's about it. They are asking for anyone with information to please call the Texas Rangers and ask for John Mason. He's the one handling the case. His number is 903-255-5727. Chamonix says there's not a day that goes by that she does not think about Zariel, Amaya, and Tamari. She says, quote, "All I tried to do was work hard to be a good mother for my 6 children." Thank you guys for joining me for today's episode of Those Murder Girls podcast. This is one that we're definitely going to follow because someone is responsible for this unthinkable crime, and that someone will pay. This episode was written by me, Raina, and edited by lovely Jules, our producer. We will see you back here next week for a brand new episode. Until then, bye guys.